Take your Bibles, if you will, and open them to Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4. This past Wednesday, in chapel service at Southwestern Seminary, Dr. Paige Patterson, president of the seminary, delivered a message challenging Southern Baptists to get back to an evangelistic focus in our churches. And in his message, Dr. Patterson said Southern Baptists will see an upturn in baptisms, giving, Sunday school attendance, and church membership when they become more intentional about evangelism. Speaking to the students and the faculty there at Southwestern, Dr. Patterson said this. He said, "The truth is that we'll see an upturn when we get back to the highways and hedges and start giving the gospel to people." He noted that Scripture presents metaphor after metaphor, particularly in Jesus' teaching, which focuses on evangelism. And in these metaphors, you see one key aspect that always stands out, and that is the intentionality of the evangelist. For instance, the parable of the good shepherd says that the shepherd left the 99 sheep in order to search for the one who had gone astray. Then in the metaphor of Christ's followers as fishers of men, Patterson says that metaphor calls to mind the fisherman who must get up early, get out to the lake, and cast his net into the waters. He then said this in his closing challenge to the students and faculty and the wider audience of Southern Baptist who would read and hear his message later. He said this, "I'm saying this to you this morning because so many of you have not intentionally gone into the field looking for the lost sheep. So many of you have never been out there in the boat fishing for men. Now, if the Lord Jesus defined his own mission as seeking and saving the lost, and if he turned right around and said to us, 'As the Father has sent me, in the same way I send you,' can there be any question in anybody's mind that the chief reason we are left on the earth once we have been born again is to take everybody we can to heaven with us?" Unquote. Friend, this morning, our focus is on evangelism as our life mission. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, he exhorts believers to partner in the gospel. Look what he says here in chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. Paul says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." He says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders." In other words, like the song says, let others see Jesus in you. "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Now here Paul gives us three things that we must do as we make Jesus known. First, he says, pray for opportunities to share the gospel in verses 2 and 3. Second, in verses 3 through 5, he says, be ready anytime to give or share the gospel. And then in verse 6, he's simply saying, and then share the gospel. So he's saying, first, pray for opportunities to share the gospel. Second, be ready at any time to share the gospel. And third, share it. Paul's assumption is that all believers, not just the ministerial staff, not just the deacons, not just Sunday school teachers or Bible group, Bible group leaders, but all believers are to be involved, engaged in sharing the gospel. After we've accepted Christ, God sends each of us back out into our broken world so that we can share the good news of what he has done for us. And so that we can share that good news with the other people in our lives, our families, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates, complete strangers. We're to share the gospel with whomever and wherever. This is our mission as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just pause here to say, I understand that I'm talking about a subject this morning that is very difficult for us as believers. And the question is, why? Why is it? Look, anybody who watched college football yesterday knows that your team, when you won yesterday, guess what? Listen, I was watching football yesterday with another couple, friends of Nancy and I's, and they were pulling for one of the particular teams that was playing yesterday. And during the game and after the game, the wife, who is a bigger sports fan than the husband, if you can believe that, she's texting back and forth with their kids and with other members of the family, and they're talking about how great that football game was. Now, we are quick to talk about things like that with other people, but why is it that it's so hard for us to talk to people about the one thing that we say is more important than anything else in our lives, and that's Jesus? And yet Jesus says, that is our life's mission. We are to be intentional evangelists. Every day, with everyone we have opportunity to share with. Friend, we are commissioned by Christ to proclaim his message of salvation. Whether it's business people, soccer moms, grandmothers, neighbors, students, lawyers, doctors, teachers, contractors, waitresses, white collar, blue collar, no collar at all. We're to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God's mission will only go forward through the evangelistic efforts of regular people like you and me. And we look at the church today. Here's what I want you to think about. Look at the church today, not just Cornerstone, but the church in general. And you see the church is weak today compared to the past. And look at the greater society and see how very little impact the church is having on our world. And then we all must look at ourselves and say, am I part of this problem? How many people have I talked to about the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I intentionally talked to with the intent of leading them to faith in Jesus Christ? And I bet you if I go around this room this morning, and I did this in all three services, we would be surprised at how very few people just this week took the time to talk to one person about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, it's not a problem with just you. It's a problem with all of us. And it's something that I believe that God wants us to understand, that it doesn't have to be as hard, it doesn't have to be as difficult as we make it out to be. And it can be just as natural as talking about anything else that we talk about, and we are so free to talk about. Here's what I want you to take away from the message this morning as we talk about sharing the gospel. Our life's mission is to share the gospel in a clear and concise way whenever we have the opportunity. So my objective this morning is to help you have intentional conversations in everyday encounters that enable you to share the transformative hope and the power of the gospel in a clear and concise way. Now, the approach I am going to give you is not original with me. It's actually passed down in Florida. Jimmy Scroggins is the one who came up with this idea. It was passed on to the North American Mission Board. And so churches all over the Southern Baptist Convention are sharing this tool for evangelism. But it's as simple as 1, 2, 3. It's an easy guide. It's called the Three Circles, and it's a simple way to share your faith and focus on three key truths: God's design, the brokenness of mankind, and the gospel. And the Three Circles diagram and the easy-to-remember concepts that are associated with it provide a natural way for any of us to share the good news of Jesus with the lost around us. Now think about something. How many times in everyday conversations do people engage you about their problems or challenges? It's amazing how often people share their heartaches. Maybe about their marriage, a struggle in their marriage, maybe the loss of a job, or maybe it's financial stress, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's something to do with depression, whatever it may be. People bring up things that are going on in their life they're struggling with. Just a week ago, I was down in Fayetteville at one of my brother's house, I was engaged in conversation with another brother who had come down. There were four of us that had gotten together, and my brother, who's right under me, was sharing about how he had just lost his job and how he was, you know, going through some issues in his life and everything, but how God had begun to speak to him and how he'd been getting back into the Word, and he's been to see that movie War Room 4 times, I've just, you know, it was a great time for me to begin. He started the conversation, and all I had to do was take off with what he started talking about and just simply talk about the gospel. And that's what I want you to see and understand here this morning, that the people bring up things in their life that talk about their struggles. That is a great way for us to segue into the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, the illustration that I'm about to give you will help, hopefully, to guide you to turn these kinds of conversations about problems into conversations about Jesus. Amen? Because the reality is that God designed our lives to be so much different than what we actually are experiencing. He wants us to experience so much more. So here we go. Let's begin. The first circle that you will see in this diagram is God's design. God's design. Now, we live in a broken world. As I've already indicated, there is brokenness all around us. We are surrounded by people whose lives have been broken in one way or another. Broken relationships, broken systems, broken personal lives. People are broken, and there is suffering, there is adversity, there is death all around us. And that brokenness that we see in other people's lives and in our own life leads us to search for a way where life works. People are looking for a way to get beyond the brokenness of their life to a place where they understand that life doesn't have to always be broken, that life can work. But what is difficult for our world to see amidst the brokenness is the beauty and the purpose and the evidence of God's perfect design all around us. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. After every day of creation, it ends, and it was good. When God created the heavens, it was good. When God created the stars and the luminaries, it was good. When God created the land and the sea, it was good. When God created the vegetation and the animal life, it was good. When God created man, it was good. God's world was perfect. Everything was exactly the way it should be. But, and in Psalm 19, verse 1, we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of his hands." So we read in the Bible that God originally designed a world that was very good, where everything and everyone worked perfectly together. Our families, our marriages, our friendships, everything was perfect. It was all conducted according to God's divine plan. We were created to worship God and to walk with him, as we see with Adam and Eve in the garden. And for a while, it all went well. But sadly, from the first humans with Adam and Eve in the garden until now, we have gone against God's purpose for our lives. We have gone our way instead of God's way. You see, life doesn't work when we ignore God's original design for our lives and we selfishly insist on doing things our way. The Bible calls this sin, and we all do it. Now, in the second slide, you're going to see there will be an arrow where the word sin is the problem, man's problem. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Unfortunately, the consequences of our sins is separation from God. So originally, God's world was perfect. It was good. But sin came into the picture. And because of sin, God's design was messed up. It became broken, at least in our part of that design. The consequences of our sin is separation from God, not only in this life, but for all eternity. Because Romans 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Now that brings us to our second circle. The second circle is brokenness. You see, sin leads to the brokenness that we all have experienced. We see this all around us. And in our own lives, we see it as well. We see where we have gotten off track, where we've done things, we've gone our own way, and we experience the consequences of our actions. I was just having a conversation with this couple, these friends of ours that were at our house for the weekend, and we were talking about consequences of some of the things that we did when we were younger, some of our children, and how the consequences of their actions. And it's not that God doesn't love you. It isn't that God doesn't forgive you. But there are consequences to our sinful decisions, to our foolish decisions and our sinful actions. And those consequences oftentimes lead to brokenness. And so we deal with the brokenness in our life. And we think, how can I get beyond this brokenness that I'm experiencing? Many people try to figure it out on their own. They try to work harder, thinking that will help them to overcome the other issues, that the negative issues in their life. Some people try alcohol and drugs to numb the pain. Some people think if they just buy a bigger house or a nicer car, that will take the pain away. We take weekend trips. We take up a hobby or some kind of activity that just will get our minds off of the brokenness of our lives. On and on the list goes of man's efforts to try to cover up or take away the pain of the brokenness caused by our sinful actions. We've seen this throughout history. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served something created instead of the Creator. Solomon states in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 12, 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Friend, this is so true about all of us. We try everything possible in our own power to overcome the sins in our lives and the sin that plagues our relationships with other people. The sin that is so destructive to our lives. We try anything and everything trying to overcome that sin or to move beyond it. But no matter how hard we try, if we are honest, if we are honest with ourselves, we know that the pain is still there. Now, it may have just kind of gone down a little bit farther down, but it's there and we know it. And it comes up every now and then, the guilt and the shame, the pain of our brokenness caused by our sinful actions. We are still broken. We may have, kind of covered it up, or we may have moved on a little bit, but we know the pain is still there. It's kind of like David in Psalm 51, where David cries out to God. Lord, he says, return to me. Your joy, the joy of your salvation, because David could not get beyond the brokenness that was caused by his sinful actions. Well, this brokenness that continues should lead us to the realization that we are in need of something greater, something more than just a better job, more money, the thrill of a weekend getaway, the pleasure of, you know, that's brought on by some kind of hobby, or even the temporary relief brought on by drugs and alcohol that many people give into. At that point, when we realize that the pain is still there, we're still broken in our life, then we need something, a remedy. We need some good news at that point. And that brings us to the third circle, the gospel. The good news found in the Bible is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is this: because God loved this world so much, God did not leave us in our brokenness. God saw the world in its sinful condition and sent Jesus, his son, from heaven to earth to live among men, to show us how to live according to the will of God and the good that comes from that. He showed us how to live a perfect life, to experience God's peace, God's love, and true fellowship with the Father. And Jesus lived perfectly before us, giving us an example of how we could ourselves live, and went to the cross, died in our place, took away our sins, so that to remove the brokenness of our life, so that we could get back to God's original design. Now, Jesus came to rescue us, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He took our sin and our shame, our brokenness, to the cross. He paid the penalty for our sin by his death. He was then raised from the dead to provide the only way for us to be rescued. The Word of God encourages us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says again, he erased the certificate of debt and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and raised on the third day according to the scriptures. But listen, simply hearing the gospel, this good news, is not enough. We must then admit our sinful brokenness and stop trusting in ourselves. We don't have the power to escape the brokenness on our own. We need to be rescued. And Jesus says that the way to do that is we must repent of our sins and believe in the good news. He says in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, repent and believe in the good news. Now, we must ask God then at that point to forgive us. We're broken. We feel guilty. We're ashamed of our lives, of the things that we've done. We see the consequences of our actions. And we simply agree with God that what we've done is wrong. We've moved away from God's original design. And in our brokenness, we've tried so many things to fix it and failed. And when we hear the good news of what Jesus did for us, we understand that our part is to turn from self and our sinful ways and to repent, turn from self, turn around, and turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we turn from sin and self, turn to Christ, and the word believes means we put our absolute trust in Jesus, trusting that he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. What he did on the cross was he paid the penalty of our sins, and by putting our trust in him, he not only takes away our sin, he mends the brokenness of our life, and he sets us on a path so that we are back pursuing God's design for our life. The Bible says, for you are saved by grace through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not from works, so that no one can boast. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, Paul said, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Friend, that's the best news you will ever hear in this life. I don't care what team you pulled for yesterday. It doesn't compare to that news right there. And yet, how many conversations have you had this morning and heard somebody talk about a football game yesterday? And how few conversations have you heard that Jesus loved me so much that he left the glories of heaven? He saw my brokenness. He saw the sin in my life. And he went to the cross for me and died in my place. And what Jesus did for me, he can do for you as well. Think about it, if we had as much passion and excitement about that as we do the other things in our life that we're so quick to talk about. How many more people would be walking the aisle? How many more people would be praying and receiving Jesus Christ? Maybe they're at Starbucks sitting over a cup of coffee. Maybe in your living room. Maybe walking down the sidewalk with a neighbor. How many more people might we see coming to faith in Jesus Christ? And you know what? It's not just for their benefit. There is nothing more rewarding than leading someone to faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing. And Jesus says we're to be intentional witnesses. We're to look for opportunities to share the good news of the gospel. Well, when God restores our relationship to him, we begin to discover our meaning and our purpose once again in this broken world. You'll see the era going from the gospel back to God's design. Now we can recover God's design in every area of our life. Our personal life, our marriage, our family, our friendships, our work, our career, our finances, our social life, we understand God's pathway to restoration is this same good news of Jesus. Because once you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, doesn't mean that there's still not going to be some brokenness in your life. But what we need to understand, and what John says in his letter of 1 John, is that once we understand that sin has caused brokenness, we confess that sin, we ask God to forgive us, and God cleanses us and restores us to fellowship. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, "For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose." And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." And guess what? We no longer walk alone. God's Holy Spirit walks with us, and he empowers us to pursue God's design and assures us of his presence in this life and in eternity. Friend, doesn't this just make sense? The Bible says God created a perfect world. It was good. But sin came into the picture. And we've all been guilty and are guilty of sin. We've all experienced the brokenness of this life. Your brokenness may be different than mine, and mine may be different than yours, but we all have experienced brokenness. And some of us have shared a lot of brokenness. But you know what the beauty of the gospel is? No one is so broken they are beyond the grace and the mercy of God. And the good news is that Jesus didn't just die for those with a little brokenness. He died for all. So that no matter how broken your life may be, Jesus can restore it and set us back on the right path to him. How? By going to the cross and dying for our sins. And the Bible says all we need to do is turn from sin and self and turn to him in faith and trust him and what he did for us. And that will set us on the path to God's design for us. Tragedy is, many people hear this, the good news, and still reject it, thinking they can work it out for themselves. And God says, if you'll just follow my simple plan, I will change your life. I will mend the broken pieces of your life. I will set you back on track. I will restore the peace, the joy, and the love that you once had but have lost. And I will set you on a course to where you are once again pursuing my design for your life. And not only that, you will now become one of my witnesses, and you will be able to share what I've done in your life with those around you, and you'll experience that joy of seeing others come to Christ as well. Here's how you need to respond to this message this morning, if you're wondering. First, there are those of you who have already believed this truth. You're a believer. You've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Hopefully, this has made sense to you and given you some courage about sharing your faith with someone else. But others of you are here this morning, and you've heard this good news, but you know you've never personally accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. You know the experience of the brokenness. You're facing some of that right now in your life. You're dealing with guilt and shame. Your life is hurting in some way or another. And you've wondered how in the world you're going to get beyond the hurt and the brokenness. And God brought you here today to hear, not me, but to hear from Him and through His Holy Spirit and His Word. I love you so much that despite how broken you are, I sent my Son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place so that your life can be put back together, your sins can be forgiven, and you can experience new life in Jesus and begin to pursue my design for you. If that's where you are today, can I just ask everyone here to just bow your heads, close your eyes? Friend, if this message made sense to you for the first time this morning, and you realize that you need Jesus to fix the brokenness in your life, would you just simply, in the quietness of your heart, just you and the Lord, would you just pray to Him? A simple prayer, something like this. Dear God, I know that my life is broken. Lord, I try to cover it up. I try to pretend that it's not. I try to act as if I've got it all together, but I know it's not. And I recognize, God, that the brokenness in my life is because of my choices, my wrong choices, and the sin that I have committed. God, I realize that I need you. I believe that Jesus came and died on the cross for me. I believe that He lived, He died, and He was resurrected to rescue me from sin and the brokenness of my life. Lord, would you please forgive me of my sin? Right now, I turn from sin and I turn from myself and my selfish ways, and I turn in faith to Jesus Christ. I know that Jesus is Lord of all, and today I commit to follow Him. Amen. Now, I want to ask every one of you to look at me. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, then I want to encourage you to tell someone today that you prayed that prayer. It may be me, it may be one of the other pastors here, it may be your Sunday school teacher, it may be a family member, it may be a friend. Tell someone that you prayed that prayer and you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. In just a few moments, we're going to offer a time of invitation. If you want, we encourage you to come forward this morning and make that public here today, that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And you may be asking, what's next? The Bible says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's God's promise from Scripture. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, that's God's promise. If you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. The Bible says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. You say, well, what's next, Pastor? Now that you have begun this journey, look up there on the screen. The Bible teaches us how to pursue God's design for our lives. There are four action steps that all of us as believers should make. First of all, there is prayer. God wants to talk with you, and He wants to talk with you on a regular basis, and He wants you to share with Him the things in your life. Church, the local church is God's family to help you as you grow in your faith and in your walk with Jesus Christ. Maybe God is leading you to join the fellowship of this church, or maybe it's some other church, but you need to find a church where you can get plugged in, where you can become a member of that family of God. And you need to get involved in discipleship, in Bible study, and in growing in your faith. The Bible. Find a good study Bible. And if you've not been doing it, I encourage you to get into the Word and study the Word on a regular basis. And then finally, share. Share what God has done in your life and tell others the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And go out in victory from here and pursue God's design for your life, because God's design is good and it is perfect. And by following Christ and trusting in Him, your life will be far better. And even when you experience more brokenness down the road, you will be able to handle it so much better because of the Lord Jesus Christ living in you and using you to be His witness to the lost around you. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask Dave to come on up here. We're going to have our invitation today.